That that bigger and better machine did will scare my son. And you know what is really scary is that most of your school teachers are teaching you that everything came from nothing. That is scary. And tonight we're going to be looking at day 5 and day 6. We've looked at what has taken place. Day 1, what happened on day 1? Yes.
And he created the heavens and earth.
Okay. God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be what?
Light.
So on day 1, we have light. Let me get this on. We have light on day 1. And day 2, what happened day 2? In the back? Okay. God created day and night the first day. On the day 2, he created the waters below and the firmament above. On day 3, he created the land. He created the plants. And then day 4, we looked at yesterday. And he created, let's see here, we'll catch up. Day 4, he created everything in the space. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Today we're going to be looking at day 5 and day 6. And on day 5, he created the fish in the sea and the fowl or the birds in the air. And on day 6, he created the mammals. He created all the land animals. And he created humans. Now, one interesting thing, one way of remembering the days of creation, many of you have probably already memorized the days of creation. But here is a very easy way to remember it. All you have to do is remember the top 3. Because notice day 1, he created the light. Day 4, he filled that light. The sun, the moon, and the stars. Day 2, he created the firmament above, the sky above, the water below. Notice day 5, he filled the sky above. He filled the water below. Day 3, he made all the land and all the plants. Notice on day 6, he filled the land. And so one easy way, if you remember the first 3, what took place? Created light, created the water, created land. You can remember day 4, 5, and 6. So an easy way, all you have to do is remember the first 3. And the last 3, all God did is fill each one of those. So today we're going to be looking at day 5 and day 6. Genesis chapter 1. And verse 20. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20. We'll begin reading here. And today we're going to be talking about animals. And how God created the animals. It says, and God said, let there be lights in the earth. Excuse me, that's verse 14. Verse 20, it says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So here we just read from the Word of God how all the animals came to be. On day 5, God created the fish. God created all the birds. Day 6, God created all of the animals on the land. Now, most of you may have heard something in school. This is something that on bbc.co.uk, this is what they say. He says the history of life on Earth began about 3.8 billion years ago. Initially with single-celled, you know, when there's a word that you can barely read, they must know what they're talking about. You know, they're so intelligent to use a word like this. Prokaryotic cells, such as bacteria. I'll just stick with bacteria. Multicellular life evolved over a billion years later. And it's only in the last 570 million years that the kind of life form we are familiar with began to evolve. Now, I often wonder, how do they know it was 3.8 billion years, not 3.9 billion years? I mean, I guess you can't, I mean, just pick a number, I guess. And just happens a million years after that, that's when the prokaryotic cells begin to appear. So about 2.8 billion years. Why not 2.5 billion years? And it goes on, it says, starting with arthropods, following by fish 530 million years ago, land plants 475 million, and forests 385 million. Mammals didn't evolve until 200 million years ago, and our species, the Homo sapiens, only 200,000 years ago. So humans have only been around for a mere 0.004% of Earth's history. How many of you have heard something like that in school? Any of you? Maybe you've gone to a museum and you've heard things like this. And this is what they're trying to teach. The interesting thing is that we only have record about what has happened over the last 5,000 years or 6,000 years. There's only writings that from the last couple thousand years. What happened after 6 or 7 thousand years? Why don't we have any record of that? Because the earth is only that old. And so as we think about this is what the world may try to teach you, this is what your school may try to teach you, well, we just read what the Bible teaches. And we see really the day of creation and how God's creation of animals. The last few days we've seen how God has created the light. God has created the water below in the firmament, the sky above. God has created the land. He's created all the plants. He's created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and how vast the universe is. And then he creates animals. Have you ever wondered why God created animals? Have you ever wondered why? I mean, Pastor mentioned God had a purpose for snakes. I mean, can you believe that? How many of you like mice? How many of you hate mice? Well, God's purpose for snakes was to eat the mice. So God has a purpose for them. How many of you dislike spiders? How many of you dislike bugs and flies and mosquitoes? God's purpose for the spiders was to eat the bugs and mosquitoes. God has a purpose for each animal in his planet kingdom. In the world, God has a purpose for all of these things. Now, as we think about this, you know, I was reading some interesting information. And one of the ways they try to tell us that how we know about how old the fossils are is they say, well, it's because of the layers. As you go down through, how many of you have ever driven down a road and you have seen a cutout in the side of a mountain and all of a sudden you see those layers? Or maybe you've gone to the coast and you see all the different layers along the cliff. And they want to tell us, you know, you can tell how old each thing is by the layers that it's in. But then, on the other hand, they say, here's a quote. It says, using the law of superposition, scientists can tell the relative age of the rock layers. Now, relative age does not mean the exact age. Index fossils can be used to help determine the relative age of rock layers. Index fossils are being from species that only existed for a short time. So we know how old the fossils are because of the layer that it's in. But this tells us that we know how old the layers are by what fossils they're in, that are in there. And they want to teach us about these fossils. You know, the question comes up, you know, we have all of these layers. And it's interesting, as you look at some of these layers, notice the bottom. They're like small little creatures. And then it goes up to some fish, and then it goes up to some dinosaur bones, and then it's some other animal bones, and then it's the human skull on top. How do you explain this? How do you... They would say, well, this proves that it's happened over millions and millions of years. Well, you know, we can answer it with one word. Flood. God had a flood that came to this earth. And the Bible mentions in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, it says, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. Most of the time when we think about the flood, we think about the water coming down from the sky. But the Bible says there were fountains busting up from the ocean, busting up from the ground, basically water volcanoes coming up out of the ground. Now when you think of that, what is going to be buried first if the water is being busted up out of the ground, out of the ocean? What is going to be buried first? The things on the bottom of the ocean. They can't move. They can't get away. So the first thing that's buried is everything on the bottom of the ocean. What's the next thing that's buried? Anybody? The fish. The fish swimming around, and so they're buried next. The next thing that's buried, well, it's those land animals that can't move as fast. The water's coming down, and they're trying to get away. They're trying to get to a higher ground. Whoops, they didn't make it. They get buried next. And the ones that maybe are easier to get around, they're a little faster, they're a little smarter, they begin climbing trees, and oh, the monkeys are up on the trees, but they get buried next. Now, man, they're on the top. You know, maybe they grabbed onto something that was floating. Maybe they tried to make a boat real quick, and they lasted a little bit longer. And so as we think about the layers, he doesn't talk about millions of years. All it talks about is how there was a worldwide flood and the layers of that things were buried in its time. This speaks of God's creation. So then the question comes, what about dinosaurs? Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me, since every fish and bird was created on the fifth day, and all the land mammals were created on the sixth day, are you trying to tell me dinosaurs were created on day six? You may be wondering that. And you know, we think about dinosaurs, and it is a subject, a great topic. You know, young children, they love to talk about dinosaurs. And you know, the word dinosaur, really, it's only been around since 1841. 1841, a man, as they were finding these fossils, they were finding these bones. And does anybody know what the word dinosaur means? Do you know? Oh, perfect! Big lizard. Giant lizard. The word dinos means great or big. Saurus means lizard. So all they are is a great big giant lizard. Does anybody remember how old people lived before the flood? Do you remember? 800? Some of them lived 800 years. Some lived 900 years. People lived a long time. Can anybody tell me the difference between a human growing and a reptile growing? What is the difference? Aaron, do you know? Okay. Well, the difference between them growing is a reptile never stops growing. Doesn't matter how old they are, they never stop growing. An alligator, I tried to find one of my pictures of Noah holding an alligator. Yes. It was about 2 years ago, Noah got to hold an alligator. Yes, the mouth was taped up. But he got to hold an alligator. It was about that long. But an alligator grows about 6 inches a year. Now, if man lives to be about 900 before the flood, what would happen if an alligator lived to be 100 years? That'd be a 50-foot alligator. That would be a great giant lizard. And so when we think about dinosaurs, it was a giant lizard. These things grew before the flood and continued to grow and got bigger and bigger. You know, there is proof that dinosaurs were alive during mankind. Can you see what's in this picture? You can't see very well. This here is a dinosaur footprint. What is this? A human footprint. And they were both pressed into the ground. Dinosaurs and man were alive at the same time. Now, there are a lot of legends about dragons. Where did those legends come from? I mean, even some flags have a dragon on it. Where did those legends come from if they've only found fossils of a dinosaur in the last few hundred years? Because dinosaurs, or in the past, before they were called dinosaurs, they were called dragons, lived while man was on this earth. So all of these things speak about God's creation and how he created animals. Now we think of God's creativity. You know, when God created animals, he created so many different types of animals. All different sizes, from the elephant, the rhinoceroses, to the tiny little bacteria that you can't even see with your eye. God created all of that. And we think about the creativity that God had, and we'll just look at a few things. You know, have you ever thought about a bird migrating? They fly thousands of miles. They say there's 9,000 types of birds, and 4,000 of them migrate. Now, in order to migrate, precision migration requires two things, they say, navigation or orientation. Navigation, they need to know the direction and where they're supposed to be going. Basically, a map. And orientation is the direction, or as in a compass, of which way are they going. If you're flying over top of the ocean, and it's a cloudy day, which direction is north? How do you know where you're going? You know, there's one bird, the short-tailed shearwater. Travels 8,000 miles unguided from Australia to Alaska. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal. He just flies from Australia, right there, all the way up to Alaska. But the amazing thing about it, the parents that have their babies, okay, it's time to go. The parents take off and leave the babies behind, and about a month later, all of a sudden the babies fly. They've never flown before. They've never crossed the ocean. And yet somehow, they end up in Alaska. How does that happen? How does it happen that the babies who have never crossed the ocean know how to get to Alaska and know that's where their parents are at? Only God could do that. Another amazing bird that flies, the bar-tailed godwit, can fly nearly 7,000 miles without stopping. For 8 days, it keeps on flying. Talk about the Energizer Bunny. I mean, this right here, the bar-tailed godwit, he is just keep on going. 8 days without stopping, without food, without sleep. Maybe they sleep in the air, autopilot, going on through. I mean, this is God's creation. Now, the most common bird that you will see in any city here in the UK. The pigeon. The pigeon. Did you know that 250,000 of them were used by the British military during World War II? And 38 of them received Medal of Honor? A pigeon! I think it was because they were trying to round up all the pigeons in London and get rid of them. Send them off to war. Let's use them. No, but God has created the pigeon, something so... what's everywhere?
Pigeon.
I mean, pigeon, that's not something very special. But you know, they say that they have magnetic particles inside of its beak so it knows the direction of north. It can tell. God has created animals almost with a sixth sense. They can tell direction, whereas we cannot tell direction. It also, they can travel 400 miles at an average speed of 50 miles per hour, and they can reach up to 90 miles per hour. Did you know that pigeons can fly that fast?
No.
No. And with pigeon races, they will drop them off 1,100 miles away at times, and they'll still fly home. Only God could make something like that. That is not by chance. By chance, animals like this could not be made. Salmon. Salmon are another amazing animal. They are birthed in the river. They travel down the rivers all the way out to the ocean. They live their life. They live a few years in the ocean. And then they travel back up. But they don't just wander up any stream. They travel back to the exact same stream that they respond at. I mean, thousands of miles. It's one thing to get out to the ocean. That's not very hard. You just go downstream. But to get back upstream, through all the different rivers, to get back to the very place that you respond to have your babies, that is only something God can do. They say they don't know how they do it, but some ideas are, they say, is the taste of the water. Did you know that one river can taste different than another river? That could be. And they can tell. Well, some rivers, the Taff River, probably tastes like coal. So they know exactly where to go there, right? You could name off different rivers, and there's probably some tastes that come from those rivers. It could be, but God has created them to go to the exact place that they were born. And how God adapts to the environment. How God has created animals to adapt to the environment. Now, chameleons, they are an awesome animal. Watch this chameleon. As it's going from hard drive to hard drive, it changes color. Oh, now we're silver. Now, as he's waiting there, and now this video is sped up about four times the actual speed. Then he goes on to the, red. And then he continues on to green. And that's by chance? That all of a sudden the body can change colors? No, that's not by chance. God has created them. Did you know that animals can communicate? They can't talk. Well, some of them, they have different, their own language. But the bee is an awesome, awesome animal. As you see this, notice right there in the center, he's doing what they call the waggle dance. And in this waggle dance, he is communicating, and the way he's pointing, see how he's pointing there and he's wagging his backside, his stinger? It is pointing, saying, that's the direction the flower is. And then he circles around, he shows the direction in the sense of the sun, and the longer the distance of the waggle, that's the longer the distance of the flower. They say that they can communicate up to 3 miles the exact location of a flower. He is getting all of the other bees around and pointing in, saying, that direction is where the flowers are, and it's about this distance away from here. Let's go. Communication. Did you know bees dance? Did you know that's how they communicate? Another amazing thing about a bee, their wings flap at about 200 times a second. Now, yesterday, Brandon did an awesome job with the bobblehead. I mean, when they were up there, I knew Brandon's got this thing. I mean, he was moving that head. I mean, he did an awesome job. But can you think of 200 times a second? Well, that was just 1,000 beats right there. 200 times. This is what God has done. Also, another interesting thing, a queen will lay around 1,500 eggs a day. That's a busy bee. 1,500. Now, a butterfly. Have you ever watched a butterfly metamorphosis? from a caterpillar, and he shakes around and he lasts there a little while, and then all of a sudden, in just a moment, it changes a little bit, and inside, something is happening. And then in just a moment, he breaks out, he ruffles those feathers out, and he allows the blood to drain out down into those wings, and then lets them dry for a little while. It takes a couple hours, and then it's off. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. And that's by chance? No, these are all things that God has specifically created. Now, one question that the evolutionists will try to say, how did God get all of the different thousands of species and animals onto the ark? I mean, there are so many different varieties of dogs. I think 380 species of dogs. Does that mean that God had some 700 and, well, I don't even know the first, 760, I think. Does that mean God had that many dogs on the ark? How did he have so much room? No, that is where we read in the Bible there. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. When God had created the earth, he created certain animals and they produced after their kind. Now, what are these? Birds. Can I get a little more specific? You can't really tell what kind it is, but notice this one. What does that resemble?
A pigeon.
A pigeon. All of these are pigeons.
What?
And you know, not all of these species were here 100 years ago. But men are breeding pigeons and creating things like that. The, I don't know, giraffe pigeon? I don't know. I mean, check that thing out. It looked like his chest went up into his neck. But man is breeding pigeons. They are pigeons. So how many pigeons did God have on the ark?
Two.
Two? Well?
Two.
None, really, because it was a dove. A pigeon is a dove. And so God had allowed certain animals to go onto the ark, and over time, they have produced different varieties of animals. The dogs, there was just the two dogs on the ark. But those dogs have produced different varieties of dogs throughout the years. Man is still producing more species. And if we think that, well, it couldn't have happened since the flood, well, how are we able to produce more species today? It has been happening since the flood. And so God did not have a million animals on the ark. They say maybe 2,000, most 8,000 animals on that ark. But probably at the beginning stage. So the kind is very important. Now we've talked a lot about animals. And God's intelligent design on animals. How he made them so perfect. God created them with many different abilities. God created them with so many different things that we can't even do. We can't smell like a dog. We can't find and navigate like some of these birds and like the salmon and different things. We can't see like an eagle or like an owl. We can't do any of things. God has created them for specific things. But you know, we also see God's care for us. God cares about us far more than he even cares about an animal. Yes, God cares about the animals, but it comes nowhere compared to the care and love that he has for each one of us. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29 through verse 31, it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." God cares about the sparrows. He's not going to let one sparrow fall to the ground without his watchful eye. But it goes on, it says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Now, if God had wrote in this Bible that God knows the exact number of bones in your body,
It's not a big deal. Man can count bones.
If God said the exact arteries are counted in your body, well, man can count things like that. But there's one thing that man can't count, and that's the number of hair on your head. Have you ever tried counting the hair on your head? Now, some people, it's a little easier. Matt, I mean, I didn't say that. But sometimes, you know, I grew up with six sisters. Six sisters. There was hair everywhere. My job was to vacuum the carpet. And it wasn't like the Henry. It was one of those spinning wheels sucking everything up. And almost every single day, maybe every week, I had to take scissors and cut all that hair off. You girls, you brush your hair in the morning, and then you have to take that big wad of hair out of that brush. You know, if you were to count your hair by the time you finished, well, you would have lost several of them, and you'd have to start over again. God knows the exact number of hair on your head. And he finishes off that verse. He says, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." He doesn't say you're more valuable than one sparrow. He says you're more valuable than many sparrows. God would not have come to this earth to allow Jesus Christ to die on the cross for all of the animals on this earth. But God sent Jesus Christ to take on human flesh. And even if one of us, just one of us, was alive on this earth, he still would have come to this earth and died for you. That's how much God cares about us. Yes, the animals, it's awesome all that God has done for the animals and all how he has created them. But God has made us above the animals. God has breathed into man the breath of life. Man became a living soul. We'll learn more about that tomorrow. But man rebelled against God. Man sinned against God. And even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Some of you might say, you know what? I don't know if anybody would love me. I don't know if anybody would care for me. God cares for you. No matter what you've done in your past, God cares for you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us with an everlasting love. And he desires for us to love him in return. He desires for us to recognize our sin, to recognize that we have failed him, that we have sinned against him. He desires for us to see what Christ has done on the cross and how he made the payment for our sin. And he desires for us to ask him for the forgiveness of our sins so that we can have fellowship with him for all of eternity. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you have done for us. We see all that you have done throughout creation and how you created the animals. But more importantly, you've created us and you've sent Jesus Christ to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sin. Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts tonight. If there's one here that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that you would help them to understand the gospel. You would convict them of their sin. And tonight would be the night that they'll trust you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.